I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests. David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are the very first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We've got on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
So tonight, that Adam Sandler film starts on Netflix that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So as we're recording this, I'm going to run out of here and go to a premiere for that. Why, you guys are excited to see that one, the Sandy Wexler film?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Absolutely. I saw that Olsen flick.
I don't have nearly as prominent a role in this
the
one.
The Olsen that twins. That's right. You played the dad.
That was the dad.
What was that called? Like Two of a Kind, Two of Hearts,
New York,
Double Trouble.
New York Minute.
Oh, better.
Yeah.
yeah, I got, think of what, my movie, The 24-Hour War, showing up on Netflix.
Oh.
Is that Netflix? No, Amazon, that's right. Different place.
That'll be good. I love docs on Amazon. They just keep coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're working on them, boy. We never stop working on this.
Do you watch Chef's Table?
No.
It's on Netflix. Watch a couple episodes of that. I'd love to know what you think about that.
All right.
It's you guys watch that?
We've done this a few times before.
You've tried to get him to do it, or you and I have
You've
talked about it?
You've tried to get him to do it.
Okay.
I don't watch any. I watch car shows.
Yeah, this is not
it's
that.
It's good.
It's just visually very interesting. I thought you might find it interesting.
It's weird that I'm not interested in entertainment. I'm only interested in information. For the most
part.
This
has got a ton of information, but you have to be interested in that kind of like cooking and how people set up restaurants, people's lives and how they
–
to me, it's interesting because it's life courses and inspiration and where people
–
these sort of roads left traveled that end up in these incredible places. That's sort of what they're about.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I like all that stuff. Yeah, we're working on 1,000, working on the K-Rock doc. You know, the problem is we work on these things before they get sold or bought or funding or anything.
Yeah.
So I just pay for them, but we don't have any. No one buys them.
You learn anything interesting from the K-Rock interviews?
I have been. Nate has been dutifully going to K-Rock, to the events, to the Acoustic Christmas and. Geez, did he go? Yeah, went to the Acoustic Christmas. Got Green Day and Blink 182 and Beck and some people like that, and then went to K Rock and was getting a lot of the old jocks.
That's where a lot of the buzz is though, on the social media. The old guys are like coming out of the woodwork, excited.
Yeah, and now tomorrow we do Rodney on the Rock and. Nate informed me just earlier that we're doing Rodney, and I said, all right, you know, why you tell me? You guys are set up at K-Rock. You're getting all the jocks over there. K-Rock, oh, he won't go to K-Rock. Won't go to the place that employed him for 40 years.
Like, is he not on K-Rock anymore?
Evidently not if he's not willing to show up to K-Rock.
Okay.
So he's not going to K-Rock.
Denny's.
Well, you're going to enjoy this.
Okay.
He is not going to K-Rock, and he will be coming to my place, but I'm sure he's a gearhead, so he's going to love all the cars. I mean, if I know Rodney. And
wants approval of everything?
No. Nate just said to me, he's going to be here. We're shooting him here at 4, and we got to cater him Denny's. He's got to eat at Denny's every day at 4.
For how long?
for his entire lifetime. What do you mean for how long?
I thought you were having to buy a series of 4 p.m.
No,
meals for him.
No, I would. I would agree to and then cut him off the following day. But he needs to be catered.
I see, because every 4 p.m. there's got to be a Denny's meal. Moon over Miami.
Right. Yeah. So he has to eat at 4 o'clock. And we have to bring in Denny's to him. You know, the thing about life that I'm interested about is why we tolerate everyone being fucking nuts. It's a weird thing. It's like we tolerate a lot of, like, you know, we tolerate, like, there's a lot of stuff we just kind of tolerate. Like, oh, that guy's nuts. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Yeah, he said he's had 7 DUIs and 3 domestic battery charges. He's a good dude, though. I mean, he's not a bad dad, you know.
We idealize
he's
people.
A good worker.
We dismiss really
serious. You don't want to catch him when he's drunk, but he's a decent dude.
We like, gloss really serious behavioral problems. Really serious. We just gloss it as, oh, you know, it's, yeah. We gloss it. We idealize.
He's set in his ways.
And then we cannot judge.
I never stop judging. So evidently he's got a show on K-Rock, so says the K-Rock
website. Just won't come during the day or something. Well, he has got to be at Denny's.
Midnight to 3 a.m. on Mondays.
Oh.
All right. But I don't know what the deal is, but he doesn't want
to go
to
K-Rock. That used to be the Loveline slot, by the way. That was the original Loveline slot.
To 3 a.m.
Midnight to 3 a.m.
It's a three-hour
show. Sunday night to Monday morning.
So Nate's out interviewing, you know, Elvira, Mistress of the Night, you know, is there. She didn't really want to talk much about past drug abuse. And some people don't want to name names, so to speak.
She has stories about sleeping with Jimi Hendrix and Elvis. She has great stories. Not K-Rock specific, but really
great
stories.
Richard Blade was fun.
I bet he was great.
He's great.
Yeah.
I guess Jed was great. I've not been present for a lot of this stuff. They've just been out shooting everything. So the process is, you know,
intense.
We're up and running.
Yeah.
You know, we've probably, between the bands and the jocks and then your ancillary Trip Reeves, who's the GM for Million Years.
Did you get him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
Weatherly?
We're getting him. I would reckon that Nate sat down with 20 people or so already.
I can think of another 20 that, you know, would be still compelling.
Oh, it's going to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we haven't gotten to Jimmy or Carson Daly or me or whoever. Yeah. And then also Chris Hardwick.
Kevin and Bean.
Also, we're working on this Willie T. Ribbs thing, too, and we've sat down and talked to just about everyone in the racing world. Oh, God, we got to be pretty far along with that. So there's a lot going on, and, you know, the way to do this stuff is to realize just how quickly the time goes by.
Mm.
You know, it just goes by, just boom, you know. I mean, it's insane that I'm talking to my kids about when the school year's wrapping up, and I just feel like we're just sending them off to the fifth grade, and now we're kind of talking about plans for the summer vacation. I was saying Nate was shooting the acoustic Christmas. You know, it's early December. I was like, we started this thing early December, heading into Labor Day or Memorial Day. It just moves.
You always said that about redoing your house. You always go, we got to get it done because you blink your eyes and we'll be able to start using it.
It's an interesting philosophical chasm that a lot of people have. I have it with my wife, quite honestly, which is her thing is like, let's not make a mess. You know, let's not get into this. Like, I don't want to tear this place up. Who the hell wants to live in this mess? You know? My thing is the exact opposite, which is let's mess it up as fast as we can, blow through it as fast as we can, and then get to the swimming pool as fast as we can. Because I've been through it. But you have to go through it.
Yeah.
And I've seen it and lived it so many times that my only modality is can we just blow through this and get to it? And so many people don't want to
start.
They don't want to start.
Yeah.
And my feeling is let's start this and let's start five things because the time, you know, because what happens is as the Willie T. Ribbs doc is wrapping up, the K-Rock doc's wrapping up, the Carol Shelby doc is wrapping up, it just keeps going. I mean, you blink your eyes, we're going to have 5-8 documentaries out in the course of 5-8 years or less, you know. So, but you got to get with competent people and you got to trust them to go do what they got to do, you know.
Yeah.
There's no possible way you can be everywhere all the time.
Yes. Thus, you need something like SimpliSafe to protect your home when you're trying to be out. And should be easy protecting your home, but in the past it has not been because you had to have installation appointments, you had to install things, you get locked into contracts. Not so with SimpliSafe. Simply with an I, SimpliSafe, comprehensive, professionally monitored home security online. You can monitor your kids, monitor your dog, monitor your elderly family members. Each system is a security arsenal. Entry and motion sensors, high-def security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called it comprehensive, easy-to-use protection, and they named it Editor's Choice for Home Security in 2014. SimpliSafe is easy to install. Just stick it up. The batteries last years. If you move, do what Adam did. You pull it off the wall, move it to the next house, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Order today, and you'll be protected by the end of the week. Speaking of just getting right to it, you're done. Pow. Get 10% off right now if you go to simplysafeadam.com. That is S-I-M-P-L-I, safe, adam.com. And order your SimpliSafe system. That is simplysafeadam.com.
All right. So you're going to what part do you play in the Sandler movie?
I play myself. It's just we're sort of – there's a bunch of people standing around at a wedding talking about this manager, Sandy Wexler, telling stories of the extraordinary things he's said to have done. The extraordinary career of Sandy Wexler.
It's kind of – I had Adam do my show.
I saw it. He was good.
Yeah, he was.
He's a nice guy.
Boy, the nicest.
Yeah.
And it's kind of reminds me of – well, I told him Broadway Danny Rose.
Oh, which, yeah.
By the way, one of Jimmy Kimmel's favorite – movies.
Oh, wow.
I'd say Jimmy's favorite Woody Allen movie. Mm. He likes Woody Allen, but I think Broadway Danny Rose. A lot of people don't put that up there, but it is.
I need to go watch that one again. I'll watch it again.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It starts off, it's smart because it starts off with all the guys sitting at the Broadway deli, and they're talking and they're telling stories. I remember the time, Danny, and
this
then
is
they,
like that,
they,
yeah.
They drift
very much.
Into
yeah.
They drift into that world.
Yeah, very much like that.
Yeah, and you're in it. Jimmy's in it.
I'm with Penn in my
Penn
scene.
And Gillette.
Yeah.
My phone never rings.
Well, that's what Sandler told you. Not you so much. So. Let's take a call. Come on. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about.
I feel like someone should call me and tell me to punch up a script.
I'll call you and have you do that. If I can write a script, I'd happily have you do it.
How dare you. Huh? Richard, 56, La Crescenta.
Hey.
What's going
Adam.
On, man?
Well, I want to thank Drew for my marriage.
Saving your marriage. Wow.
How'd he do that?
Well, he had Jennifer Park on.
Oh, yeah.
My wife wasn't interested in sex at all for quite a while, and she was miserable, and she was trying to make everyone around her miserable, too. So.
And he got her on hormone replacement, and you get on the right mix of testosterone and progesterone, and women are reborn.
Exactly.
They feel so much better. It's cruel to leave women in that state.
But, yes.
Yeah, Richard,
her,
thank you.
OBGYN was like, nah, you'll be fine. Just, you know, you'll cruise through menopause.
Yeah, no, they don't appreciate. What episode was that, Gary? It's behind the paywall now, but the Dr. Drew podcast, if you can find that for me. Jennifer Park is a Southern California gynecologist that specializes in these bioidentical hormones. I think, does your wife go to her too? I think maybe.
Jennifer Park.
So, but anyway, Switch, what'd you call about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway. I just wanted to...
Episode 121. Go ahead, Richard.
I want to thank you so much for that because it really saved a marriage.
Great. Cool. That's it?
That's it.
All right. Well, you're quite welcome. Well done.
Thanks, Richard.
You bet. Thank you for calling. So I have to a couple things I want to talk to you about. I have to give a talk to Chris Christie. I'm going to Jersey in a couple weeks.
To him.
Well, to him and his team and a bunch of other hospital administrators about the opiate addiction. And I'm stunned at how there are all these factions out there, each with almost religious intensity around what they what the right way to treat it is. And it's really frustrating trying to weave it together to help I have my own biases, but I'm interested in treating it a certain way because I'm interested in a certain kind of outcome. I'm not interested in keeping people chronically ill. And I don't know. I wonder if you had any thoughts about that. It's such a common thing now.
Well, I had a thought. One of the thoughts I had, which I was watching Tucker Carlson last night, who I've always enjoyed. So I used to love when he'd go on Bill Maher's show and just show up in his bow tie and just kick everyone's ass. Like when he was probably 30, just thought, who's this little spark plug? He was totally unapologetic and would just kick the shit out of everybody verbally. Obviously a very bright guy, but he likes
sparring.
He likes sparring with people, and he also likes laughing at them when they float whatever retarded notion they float. But he had like the head of the DNC on there the other day, and the guy was doing his usual about Trump and the Russians and the collusion and what this means and what this could possibly mean and the ramifications and the implications. And Tucker just said, hey, you lost the last election. And there's an opioid epidemic. Is there anything that you guys discuss as far as the Democrats go other than Trump and his relationship with Putin? Or are there other topics that you guys are willing to get into, considering you lost and considering there's people dying all day, every day from, like they say, this opioid thing? Is that something that you might want to weave into the fabric of your conversations? Or is it just Trump, Putin, Soviet Union? Is that it? Is that the only thing you talk about?
What do you say?
This is the same thing they always do, which is, of course, we're interested in a variety of topics, Tucker. But understand, this Trump-Putin thing is of historic. This is if half of this turns out to be true, this is cataclysmic and bigger than. And he just sits there and laughs and goes, you think you're going to win another election just talking about this? You have no discussion on what you're. Tucker said, look, right and left, you guys are here
to
represent a constituency, not to further your own cause.
But hold on now. This is what's interesting to me, because we just went through this nuclear option around the Gorsuch nomination to the Supreme Court, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to get completely into politics here for a second. I thought what the Democrats did was strategically unbelievably inadvisable. They forced the Republicans to do what they did. Harry Reid had done before, reduce the need to break a filibuster down to a simple majority of 51 versus 50, which they easily did, and now Gorsuch goes in. So now they've set up the precedent for the next Supreme Court nominee, who is going to be a much more liberal seat that's going to be replaced. They've now set that up, and they've also set up the possibility that somebody could raise this same phenomenon for legislative action in the Senate, which is really an undoing of our whole process. It's like really bad, this situation. And the Democrats, when it happened, ran away from the press. They did not give any commentary afterwards, as though they didn't believe it was going to happen. It's very and the ones that did talk, I spoke to somebody that got a hold of a couple of them and said, well, our constituents demanded it. They just demanded we do it. We're not going to get reelected if we don't do what they're telling us. They insist that we just resist.
Well,
and I was like, oh, my God, that's not representative government, really, is it? You should be using your judgment, not just responding to hysteria.
Look, we live in what is now designated a sanctuary city. And I hear these fucking retard mayors and governors and whomevers just grabbing every podium they can grab. And, whoever is saying to them, well, he says you're going to get your federal funding cut off if you declare yourself a senator. Well, so be it. Bring it on, or don't bring it on. We don't care. We're sanctuary cities. Like, hey, Dickless, you're talking about raising taxes so you can fix the roads here because we don't have roads and we don't have money to fix roads. And Dickhead Brown wants to raise money for this. But you're telling the guy driving the federal Brinks truck who wants to back it up and drop off some cash, yeah, keep driving, asswipe. We're making a statement. So we've gone, to me, in my humble opinion, when I'm sitting here as a resident of Los Angeles, raising my hand going, hello, I'll take some of that federal money, drop it off. Oh, no. We're not going to bend, genuflect to these guys. We're declaring it a sanctuary city.
Resist.
Yeah, we're going to resist. And at this point, it's not become about what would benefit our city or our state or our constituency the most. It's about fuck you, and we're taking a stand.
Here's the problem.
And whenever, that's great. You live in the governor's mansion, but everyone else has to sit in the traffic, and they're trying to get a cheap apartment, and this is not helping.
And whenever ideology prevails, humans are harmed, whether it's the gulags or the Chinese Cultural Revolution or whatever. It's about ideology and not helping people or being pragmatic, it harms lots of people. Period.
Yeah. And it's this, again, this thing where it's like, you are here to represent the people. And look, here's the deal. Garcetti and Brown and whoever the mayors are of the sanctuary cities and the governors of the states, your job isn't to make everyone happy all the time. Your job is to figure out how many people. Drew, give me that thing back. Stop looking at stuff. You're here to make as many people happy as you can, not all the people happy. And what I'm saying is this. I don't know what percent of their constituency is going to be negatively affected by whatever immigration, whatever, or enforcement of whatever between ICE and federal and local law enforcement, whatever that is. It's a much smaller group than the group that will be negatively impacted by not receiving federal funds. So could we please take a look at the larger group here and see what we can do? And by the way, this is enforcing laws that are on the books about our borders and about our sovereignty and about documentation and immigration and all the things good countries need to sustain themselves. When did this become exotic? Meaning there are a lot of things you can point to in terms of our society and rules and enforcement of rules and things like that. Hey, nobody's coming into this country unless we know about it. And B, if we find you in this country and you're not here legally, we're going to remove you from this country and put you back. We're not going to put you in a Iron Maiden. We're going to put you back in your country of origin. That seems pretty straightforward to me. It feels pretty country 101. Like when you're laying out the charter for your new country, that's one of the first things you lay out is, okay, what do we have? Well, we got a country. Okay.
Where is that country?
Where is it? It's over here. Okay. What are the borders? Who do we border? We border with other countries. Okay. So first thing we do, it's almost like, it's kind of interesting, but when they do a decent size medium to, and it keeps going up, when there's a job site, what is the first thing that goes up on a job site?
A bridge. We don't build walls.
A fence. They put a fence around the fucking job site. They put a fence, and they put a big swinging gate with a padlock on it, and they go, okay, first thing we need to do for a multitude of reasons. We have to kind of secure this perimeter. This is our perimeter. This is our job site. Sometimes they'll have an overnight guard there. Sometimes a foreman will have the key. Now, can any, nobody can ever come on the job site? No. The door opens. The appropriate people come in, licensed, bonded, whomever. They work. They don't come in on Saturday night at 4 in the morning.
Have you tried to get into a building lately?
Right.
Any building.
Right. But before we start building this job, this apartment complex or this office building or whatever, this country, the first thing we do is we secure it. Mm-hmm. And then we make a few rules about who's coming in, who's going, what. And you can go walk onto a job site in the middle of the day and some guy's going to say, what's your business here? And if you have business, which is, well, I'm an electrician, I'm here to help do all the whatever. Okay, then come on in. If the thing is, hey, I want to hang out and just kind of watch, then the answer is kind of no. This is our secure job site. And then you go, why? What's wrong? And you go, well, I don't know what your motives are. There are plenty of nice people who want to hang out and watch, but there might be a couple nefarious ones who want to hang out and watch. Maybe they have some plan to burn this place down. I don't know. So state your business. We have a gate. It opens, it closes. We have a guy stands by the gate. We're not saying nobody gets to come on here. We're saying if you want to come on, you want to go to work, you come on, get paid, do your job. And that's what you do when you have a job site. And when you start a country, you go, where are your borders? Okay, let's secure those borders. Now, if somebody wanders onto the job site, we don't stab them. And if they're running and out of breath because they're being chased by a serial killer, then we go, oh, hold on. Let's examine this. We don't throw you back out there to be stabbed by the serial killer. We have a conscience. But we want to know where you're coming from and who's chasing you and what's going on and what are you going to contribute and what are you asking for. And that's the first thing you do when you start a job site. So if you look at this country like building a nation, then I would say, yeah.
Like any endeavor. Let's take a quick call.
Okay. We'll talk to Nigel.
Yeah.
Nigel?
Yes.
What's going on?
Not much. Get it on, guys.
Yeah, man.
I'm just calling. I quit drinking recently, about 11 days ago. I started going to AA meetings and whatnot.
That's great.
And I've got a sponsor and everything.
Terrific.
I just basically, thanks to your guys' show, you guys are very blunt in the way that you present your facts, and that works a lot on people like me.
Good. That means you're smart.
Yeah. It's also that military training, so.
Oh. Well, there you go.
But I just was wondering, I just kind of, like, my hands have finally stopped shaking from, you know, drinking and whatnot. And I was just wondering, how long does, like, the insomnia and the weird dreams I've looked into a bunch of the side effects that I should expect?
Yeah, it's for sure a month, right? And sometimes people get it for 2 or 3 months. You might try some melatonin or something, try to settle it down. But, your brain is hypersensitive now as it comes off it. There's still a risk of seizure for about up to 14 days. And you're sort of going through the second window when the risk starts to pop up again. So, you know, don't do any freeway driving, things like that. And the biggest thing you're going to notice is you're going to start feeling things and you're not going to like it. That's the biggest thing. And just keep going to meetings, keep calling your sponsor, keep coming back, keep doing it, put one foot in front of the other. And pretty soon you'll have put some time together and you'll start feeling pretty good about that.
All right.
Good luck, man. It's good. It's hard. It's not easy. I know it's hard. And you got a lot of people in your corner. Keep them there.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, guys.
Thanks, Nigel.
And it's way harder than people think. It is hard, man.
Everything.
Change is hard. That's right. Change, especially something like that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's not hard. Casper.
Oh,
it's
soft. Oh, nice.
Obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Latex and memory foam. You know, I don't like that memory foam.
No. Do you know like people? They don't like foam to remember anything that happened on the bed?
You never know what the mattress talking.
See. Yeah, I might have thought of what it's seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Latex memory foam. It creates just the right sink and just the right balance.
Nice. Comes in a box. Pow! Opens up. Pow. That's it.
That's right. Risk-free trial, by the way. They got a return policy. You can try it out for 100 nights, free shipping, and painless returns. So, It's the most awarded mattress of the decade. It's Casper. It's $500 for a twin. It's $950 for a California King. They got a special offer. $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Adam. So that's casper.com/Adam. And entering 50 sleep.
Huh.
Yep.
50 sleep.
50 sleep. Okay. Terms and conditions apply, but you get the $50 off toward the mattress that you like at Casper. This is good stuff, people. All right. If you want to know anything about me, go to adamcarolla.com. We got the movies. We got the Me and Dennis Prager. We got all the stuff. We got Carolla drinks. Say hi to Lynette. It's all the good stuff over there. And what else, Drew? What do you got?
Go to drdrew.com. Me and Dr. Spaz and the Weekly Infusion. Really had some great guests. And we sign up at Contact, drdrew.com/contact, and we send you a weekly newsletter off each of these topics every week. And me and Bob Forrest on the This Life podcast. Pretty cool. And Dr. Drew podcast there, too.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.